do I follow that so beautiful? Such honesty. Oh, such beautiful honesty. Such a refreshment to my heart this morning, Lori. Thank you. Thank you for teaching us, too. So I wrote out, too, something hard to put it 10-plus years into such a short period of time. So I kind of hit the highlights. The story is called Abel and Christ. Okay, we have a heartfelt closeness with our youngest daughter, Rachel. And this is Rachel. We were together for 12 years after our older children left the nest. And we've traveled the world together.
Yeah, shortly after our move to Virginia in 1995, our third child, Rachel Hope, she was born with a little red mark on her face. The doctor says red mark on her face is going to be a problem. And I remember hearing that in the hospital. She was only like a day old. And he said that it's going to be a problem. I said to Rosemary, I couldn't believe that. I said, I can't believe that's going to be a problem. She's beautiful. She's made in God's sight. She's beautiful. But after we moved here, she was born with a small red birthmark on her face. They called it hemangioma. That's what the pediatrician said. It took a drastic change over the first month, swelling her right eye completely shut. And this began the tumultuous road to find help for our daughter. We had so many unanswered questions. I'll share a condensed version of the crushing blow God allowed in her life and the miracle of his provision. It certainly was painful and not easy. As we held on for dear life to let God lead us, regardless of what our eyes were seeing. God was faithful to clear the way for consults with world-renowned doctors, leaders in the field of reconstructive plastic surgery and hemangiomas. Operation Smile, you may have heard of him, Dr. McKee lives in Norfolk. As well as Dr. Milton Wainer from South Africa, who developed a copper laser, vapor laser, and a hot knife to use in surgery at his specifically clinic in Arkansas Children's Hospital in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Put a pause there. So Arkansas Children's Hospital, we didn't have the money for that. So we had heard that there was something called an angel flight that we could put an application in and ask if they would fly us out there privately to have the surgery. Honestly, we did not have the money for that. And it turned out that, yes, they did approve us for an angel flight. But let me tell you, that angel flight was anything but smooth, because when we arrived in Arkansas, the ceiling had dropped to 12 inches above the ground. And the airport was closed. And I turned to my husband and I said, Drew, if you don't go up there and ask him if he knows Jesus as his personal Savior, I am going to just blow out of this seat. So he went up there and he talked to him about the Lord. And the man said, yes, I know Jesus. And don't you know, just a few minutes after that, we found a place to land. But it was a ride and a half.
Yeah, it was, indeed. God gathered a team of five doctors who worked overtime in her care, and only our constant prayers sustained us as her birthmark grew to completely disfigure her face.
So as you're looking at the pictures, the one on the bottom was about 5 months old. So it just kept growing and covering her face. And so absent from our ears were all the newborn phrases of what a beautiful baby you have, only replaced by fear-filled questions and shocking words at her appearance from strangers pulling their children away from us in public. The Lord spoke clearly to trust him and my broken heart, trust him with my broken heart and not to hide the child. Specifically, it said to me, do not hide the child. Do not give up. He promised that he loved her and he had this and he would restore her. Amen. So I heard in my spirit the Lord declare that for Rachel, and I grabbed a hold of it with every bit of faith that I had. Having this assurance from God, I took on a seven-year battle with insurance companies for 12 reconstructive surgeries, needed to just restore function to her mouth because she drooled incessantly and, well, she couldn't really form words at that point. God was gathering a faith community, including the Church of the Messiah, to surround us, and was touching her doctors and countless lives along the journey with hearing her story. I saw suffering people like I've never seen along the way of Rachel's life. And I was so glad that I was present. So again, the pain, but I also saw the goodness of God revealed in those moments. So what many take for granted, just having a normal face, to help her overcome her shyness, we enrolled her in dance class at 3 years old. At the recital, people around us were in tears to see the beauty of God showcased. We lost the battle for her vision in her right eye and later brought again to our knees to learn that she had a 50% conductive hearing loss in both ears. We found out that the Stapes bones were fused together, so the sound didn't reach from here to inside her ear. But don't you know, she had been reading lips. So she had understood everything we were saying to her, and she even fooled her mother. I didn't know, so I was completely shocked when I found out she needed hearing aids. More money we didn't have, but God always made a way.
Rachel in Christ had found the resolve to overcome double vision, to perfect vision in only one eye. She served as an EMS. She drove one of those trucks in Virginia Beach. She was a first responder after she was done with college. She drove a rescue truck for VA Beach. Her battle to communicate with a hearing loss led us to an audiologist, Dr. Molly, in Virginia Beach, who fitted her with her first hearing aids and was a guest at Rachel's wedding 2 years ago when she got married. She graduated from Liberty University with a degree in information systems. Tears and joy are really how we remember God taking this painful condition and using it for good, to praise and glory of his name. He is the name above all names. It says in Philippians 1:29, "For you have not only been given the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him." Amen.
We felt that about Rachel, that she had accepted what God had given her. She didn't fight it. She wasn't bitter. She responded in a way that completely broke my heart. She humbled herself, and God showed himself faithful. I found this, Pastor Marty, going through my 25 journals that I journaled during this whole ordeal. April 3rd, 1998, "Dear Drew and Rose Marie, blessings to you. I am so thrilled and thankful that Rachel's hospital visit was so productive. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord provides? Faithfully, George Stockow."
Aww.
I wanted to share this poem that meant so much to me during this time in a book called Hope and Fear. And the title is called "The Night Is Not Dark." They tell of Adam, how frightened he must have been for the first time when he saw the sun disappear, ending the first day. It was Adam's first darkness. How could he accept the night when he had never seen the dawn? After the splendor of the sun, how dark the darkness was for him. How desperate the long terror of the first fall of night, until Adam learned that the day would come again. He could see that in the light, there is light and order in the universe. And then Adam began to see how much light remains in the sky at night, the stars and their enduring promise of the sun, the returning star of the day. Adam learned that the night is never wholly dark and that no night is endless. "The light is never far," and was written by Rabbi Bernard Mandelbaum.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.